magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, November 5th, 2019, Being Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, a favorite day of the week as we get to feature someone's life story, their faith journey. Usually it's a God-honoring time of people that have connected with the Lord or served him for many years. Sometimes it's a new believer, and it's always exciting to have them share their new faith journey and some of their new insights to the senior saints we've had on that have had a legacy of 40, 50, 60 years following the Lord. And today we have a special guest. And by way of introduction, a week ago on last week's Testimony Tuesday, her father was featured, Dr. David Webb, a beloved Bible teacher, a beloved family physician for many of the listeners. I know so many of my friends said, oh, Dr. Webb's my doctor. Do you know he prays before he examines me or afterwards? I said, yep, that's been a legacy of Dr. Webb. And we had him also on last Monday, and he divided God's word for us.
He sure did.
He covered Revelation 4:11. And if you've ever been under Dr. Webb's teaching, you know he loves God's word. He saturates his mind and heart with studying it, with reading it, with preparing. And he sat in the studio with Marianne and I. And at one point, I looked at Marianne as Dr. Webb was looking down at his Bible. He had it open to Romans. And I was like, Marianne, look, there wasn't an inch of space. He either had notes in it or it was so red it kind of like the letters had worn off of the page. But great Bible teacher. Well, his daughter, Dr. Hendricks, who also serves in the Muhammad Clinic as a family physician. What's your title or role there?
Yeah, I'm a family physician at the Muhammad Clinic. I've been there for 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
And you're one of four daughters. Yeah. You're the firstborn. And have followed in, actually, Dr. Webb's footsteps. You have a number of patients, including my wife, and you're very skilled at your trade, if you will, but you love the Lord. You have a degree. You and your husband, Jeremy, both through correspondence have a degree in biblical studies, or what is it?
Yeah, we did an online master's of biblical and theological studies from Dallas Theological Seminary.
Okay,
wow.
Have that.
Yeah.
And you and Jeremy have served in Africa on a number of mission trips. We'll talk a little about that. Have a love for the Lord, even through your prayers that God would use this broadcast to bring attention to him and his glory,
yeah,
and his purposes.
You.
Appreciate your heart, Christine. Or should I call you Dr. Hendricks?
No, no, no.
Christine, okay?
Yeah. I have a special appreciation for Christine because one of her four children is Sammy, and I used to do Awana years ago, and little Sammy, now 15
little
and grown
Sammy,
and tall, is no longer
that.
Little, a young man, but delightful times. He was one of those little energetic guys that when we had the Awana sports team, he'd run around the circle. And
well, I'm just starting.
He was a boy's boy. So
I'm starting to think that runs in the family.
Yeah.
Met two of you. Yeah. You're both energetic.
So. Yeah. Well, Christine, primarily we wanted to have you on to share a little of your faith journey, but also the exciting work that's being done right in Muhammad called the Open Room. And we talked about it or referenced it a little bit with Dr. Webb last week because it's this ministry that's open to the community to be used for God-honoring activities, whether it's prayer or small group Bible studies or a movie night or other gatherings. But tell us a little of the story behind this, because I think you and some gals got together, were praying up, how could we reach people throughout the area? So walk us through what is the Open Room and how it all started.
Sure. So when I was in seminary, I was in a class and was studying actually worship. I was reading a book. And at that time, I felt like God really gave me a vision for a place in downtown Muhammad that would be a center of worship for our community, that would be a place where we could be united as Christians to serve our community. And it was a very specific vision. I don't normally have visions from the Lord, but this was a very specific one. In fact, I visualized actually what the space would look like. And then I just kind of let that be. That was probably 5 years ago, actually. And didn't really do anything with it, didn't pursue that vision in any way necessarily. And then several months ago, about May of this year, a space came open for rent in downtown Muhammad. And actually, our church had looked at the space, thinking about maybe moving to that space. The church decided not to, but at that moment, I thought, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the time, the place, that God's going to bring that vision that he gave me to fruition. So I went home and talked to my husband, Jeremy. I said, what do you think about us using this space? He said, that sounds great. But he said, I don't want you to do it by yourself. Too much stuff on your plate already.
Yeah,
and
full-time doctor, physician, you know, four children.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Jeremy's very involved and active.
Right.
It's just a few of the things you're doing.
Right. Yeah. So he said, I don't want you to do this by yourself. Could you find some other people to do it with you? So I said, sure. And I spent some time in prayer. And the Lord brought six women's names to my mind. Mm-hmm. And I called up those women and kind of shared the vision I had to them, a vision of a place, just a place where people could meet God, a place that we could use in a variety of ways to outreach to our community. And every one of those women said yes, mm-hmm. almost immediately. In fact, the whole process has been the easiest process that I've ever done. It clearly has been from the Lord and His mm-hmm. Holy Spirit guiding it, because there really hasn't been any angst about it, any stress about it, any worry about it. It's just kind of happened. So we have seven of us that put the space together, decorated it, get together and plan and dream and pray for it and financially support it. And so what it is it's basically a, I call it kind of a Christian coffee house mm-hmm. / ministry center. So it's open during the day, 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and 9 to 12 on Saturday. Basically just an open space where people can come and spend quiet time, maybe get something done out of their home. There's a prayer corner where people can sit and pray or leave prayer requests. There's a book corner where people can borrow books and bring them back or not if they really enjoy them. And there's a Keurig setup so people can make a free cup of coffee or tea. We have waters in the fridge. There's free internet. It's basically like a coffee shop where no coffee is sold, but you can make free coffee.
Sure.
And it's open for anybody to use. It's not staffed. Sometimes one of the seven of us is there, but oftentimes nobody's there. So people can just come in and use the space. And then in the evenings and other times on the weekends, the space is available for people to reserve and to use for their own groups. So we have a church in town that uses it every Wednesday morning for a high school Bible study. We have book groups in town. We have a widow's grief group. Just a variety of different people have started using it. And then we also host events for the community. We have a monthly prayer time that's the second Monday of every month. And then, for example, coming up on November 15th, we have a night of Thanksgiving where we're just going to be spending time thanking God for who He is and what He has done. In December, we have a community Advent service that we're going to have, again, trying to bring the community together in unity and support for one another. So the space is just a space that we want to be able to be open, where people, when they come, can somehow experience God, whether it's through the scripture on the walls or whether it's through just some quiet time or the praise worship music that plays in there, or whether it's through an actual event that we have. We just hope that people can come to know the love of Jesus.
Well, one of the reasons, maybe the primary reason, as I prayed about it and thought of you coming in and sharing, is I'm hoping that this might be a catalyst for others to do the very thing that you did, that somebody tuned in now, maybe in Danville or Gibson City or different towns throughout our listening area, would suddenly say, now, how did you start this? So basically, there was a storefront open in mm-hmm. the downtown area, and I'm thinking like Farmer City. There's some towns that, you know, because of the tenants moving out, there might be an affordable opportunity to lease it at a rate that's not too exorbitant. And I know you and the seven ladies or so pooled your resources and X amount of dollars. Because Mark Kessler, he came in to our Thursday morning gathering one time. He said, oh, you should hear what they're doing in downtown Muhammad. They're taking the storefront. These ladies have pooled, you know, X amount of dollars each. They're renting this out. They're remodeling it. They're making it useful for the Christian community or the community at large. And I think it's such a great idea.
It is.
And so Dr. Webb, in fact, this past Saturday, he launched his first in a series of Saturday morning 7 to 8:30 studies for men. Mm-hmm. It'll be the first and third Saturdays right. at the Open Room. And you mm-hmm. can find out more about Dr. Webb's men's study or, like you said, the various ways that it can be utilized or is open to the community at the the-openroom.com, the-openroom.com. But I was thinking, couldn't some people in other towns, maybe in Indiana, in Covington or somewhere, say, wow, we could do that, you know, for $500, $700, $1,000 a month, maybe 10 of us donate $100, remodel it, open it up, a meeting place for teens after school, or a place where moms can get together in the morning and pray, or like the various ways, the vision that God gave you. Now, when God gave you this vision, you mentioned it, it's not like God gives you these visions every other week. It was like just some impressions, because I'm thinking there's probably somebody tuned in thinking, you know, that's interesting, and maybe God would start impressing them to coordinate like you did. First and foremost, the best thing you said, you started praying, Lord, and then he put on your mind some other people to do it with you, which generally, Dr. Webb would jump in here, there's a proverb, with many advisors, victory is sure and such. So you got those impressions, and now you're seeing it bring the community together. I think you had like a movie night too, so it can be used for a variety of things. So as you pray, and your team and others that are supporting this pray in the future, what do you hope God continues to do, or as a result of this being open to everyone?
Well, I think the amazing thing about this is when you have no expectations and you go in just open to what God will do, it's been really amazing to see what God has done. We came in just saying whatever you want. If you want it to be used for Bible studies or prayer groups, we are open. And that's when it's really neat, is when you really don't have an agenda, but you let God set the agenda. And so, you know, I really have no idea where it's going to go. What I want is for God's name to be known. And for people to be able to experience him. But it already looks different than I thought it would look. And so I'm sure it'll look different in a year from now. But the other thing I've really experienced through it is when we are generous, people are generous back. And so this has really bred generosity in our community. It has bred a sense of unity, I think, in our community. So it's just been neat to see those kind of things experienced. And that's what I really hope. I hope that it brings our community together in a sense of unity around one Savior and a sense of desire to see his kingdom built and helping each other do that in a variety of ways.
You have a beautiful attitude about this.
Thank you.
Yes, you do.
Well, and it's a great, it's right in downtown. It's in between a number of other stores or restaurants. Actually, there's a brewery right next door. Nice couches and seating. In fact, one of the guys in my small group said, you should put some of the Prime Life Times papers in there because, you know, it's good reading material. And I thought, okay, I'll go over there. And I thought, wow, this is really nice. So I walked in hoping to see Christine or somebody else in charge. And there were like four high school girls sitting at a table talking. I'm like, are one of you like the daughters of the owner
somebody?
And they're going, no, no, we just come here after school. It's like a fun place.
Cool.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to leave these papers over here. And they were very content. And I've heard other people that have gathered there. And like I said, this past Saturday, a number of men who met to have Dr. Webb, your father, you know, divide God's word and share. And it's just what a perfect thing. But I'm thinking beyond just what you're doing here in Mahomet. And again, you can find out more at the-openroom.com, the-openroom.com. But I could see this spreading to towns where there's a number of unoccupied office fronts or whatever, where, you know, 5 or 10 people getting together, $100 or so each month, catch the vision, and then the service that that can do. And ideally, our hope, I think your vision, Christine, that God is glorified, that Jesus Christ is proclaimed, that God's word is divided in some manners. Now, maybe sometimes it's a meeting place, but it's the fragrance of Christ because people have prayed up, people have been intentional. We want this to be used for the Lord's use, and then God does fit different things together. I know I've been in settings where people have walked in and have said, there's something different about this place because Christians have met in there, Christians have prayed, Christians have dedicated it to God's use. And I don't know how that works in the heavenlies and stuff, but people notice a difference. That used to happen during the Urbana conventions here. Unchurched people say every 3 years when those inter-varsity people would come in, something was different. There was a sense. I think, I don't know how angelic hosts work and such.
This is such a creative idea. And it has all the markings of Holy Spirit-led. And it also, in my opinion, has the strong markings of Holy Spirit blessing. Mm-hmm. You can just feel the movement of the Spirit in what you folks are doing.
Yeah. And then kudos to you for being open or attentive to God's leading, because I think so many times God is prodding us or trying to breathe new ideas or thoughts or concepts into my mind, but I'll speak personally, but I can become so preoccupied with a project or a situation that it clouds or interferes with God trying to speak directly. And I've told you many times, if I can just get some of these things closure, I think I can be open to God breathing new ideas or concepts or thoughts.
Yes, you have said that. One thing that struck me so much with what you said, Christine, was all of you are showing a kind of ease about this, and that's just beautiful. I mean, there's no stress.
Absolutely.
But what I was thinking, though, with Christine, a mother of four, you know, a physician, you know, many patients, anyone that is in the healthcare field, it's grueling, you know, taking notes and follow up, and you're dealing with people's health. So there's the pressure of making sure you're prescribing the right. I'm out of my league on the prescriptions and the different things, but people are entrusting their life to you, their future. You know, I have these aches, these pains. Christine, do you have a magic wand to know everything? So you carry kind of that weight. And, you know, being a wife and involved in your church and all those other things you're carrying. And yet God is working and delighting in your availability. And yet you still have time to serve on mission trips in Africa. How do you balance all that? And tell us a little about what you and Jeremy have seen God do on your various trips.
So we started going to Kenya through Samaritan's Purse, which is Franklin Graham's organization. And we went to a mission hospital there and then went back several years in a row to a couple different mission hospitals in Kenya and have landed kind of in an area near E10 or Eldoret, Kenya, because E10 is where all the marathon runners train. And my husband is a sports medicine physician. And there's a mission hospital close by named called Kapswar. So we're able to, I'm able to work at the hospital of Kapswar, and Jeremy's able to do sports medicine ministry in E10 to the athletes. So that's where we've kind of landed and where we go back. About once a year we go there. Jeremy has started a nonprofit that takes teams there, so we at least go once a year with that nonprofit.
And what was the initial calling? Why Kenya? Why Africa?
Actually, we had kind of started praying about wanting to be used in different parts of the world and just being open to missions. And some friends of ours came and said, hey, we're going to go to Kenya to a mission hospital. Do you want to go with us? And we said, sure. So it was kind of actually just by chance or through
God's providence.
Through another couple that got us started in Kenya. And it was really through the process of that. I think, you know, when you go on a missions trip, you feel like you're going to give, but you end up really being changed more yourself. And it was actually through just the process of going the first time where our eyes were really open to the need in the world and how we could be used by God. But our heart is the same, whether it's here in Muhammad or whether it's in Kenya. It's to proclaim the name of Jesus
and so that
other people might know and come to salvation through him. So, you know, God calls us to be obedient wherever we're at, whether it's in my clinic or whether it's in the open room or whether it's in a hospital in Kenya. So we don't necessarily feel that that's more important than what we do at home or in our small town, but it is one of the parts that God has called us to, we feel, at this point in time.
Praise God for that attitude.
Yeah, it's like that. You know how I love Colossians chapter 3, whatever we do, work at it with all of our heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Or the other 3:17 and 3:23, I think, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so, yeah, like you said, whether it's serving on the mission field or serving in the clinic or mothering your children or helping the neighbor or on your racquetball court or wherever it's at, we can be that representative, that ambassador for God, pressing kingdom power, influence, and authority into that realm. Mm-hmm. Well, last Tuesday, Dr. Webb had mentioned he's written 3 children's books. I think one is published and out now. In fact, I saw it at the Muhammad IGA. It's right on one of the registers as you check out.
I'm just starting to read it.
Yeah, but 100% of the purchases of this book is going to go to a children's home that's in Kenya. Now, where's that near?
It's near Kapswar Hospital where we've been, and my parents went with us 1 year. And there's a children's home. It's about probably a 45-minute walk. We've walked there several times. basically, the children's home is mostly self-sustaining as far as day in and day out. They grow their own food. There's like five things I think that are provided, like salt and rice and, you know, a few things. But what they're really aiming to do is be able to send these kids to school. So the money that is used to support the children's home is basically used to provide the five things that they provide, but then mostly to provide secondary school educations to these children so that these children can eventually get an education and be able to support themselves.
It's so important.
And Dr. Webb has produced these three books. I know one is available right now called Rescue at the Door, and it's some of the bedtime stories he used to share with you and the grandchildren.
Yeah, not with me, but with my children. Oh. So my children know these stories. I'll actually be reading them for the first time as well. But my children know them.
And what's neat is 100% of the proceeds, the profits from this book, is going to go to this children's home in Kenya, but Dave and Judy Webb will match all the donations too. So they'll kind of double that. Yeah. And if you want to purchase the book, you can find out more at davidkwebb.com. davidkwebb.com. In fact, it's called AICKAPCHESEWES. Capachesuis? Anyways, you know, I've talked about the famous ping pong player from Togo, Africa, that's out here. Yeah, I've talked about him. I brought it out here and I said, hey, you're from Africa. Have you heard of this? And he knew the name. He read it off right away. It was very clear.
We should have written that down.
I said, that's how you pronounce it. But anyways, he said, no, it's a good cause, and there's a lot of needs there in Africa, and Rescue at the Door, along with the other books that Dr. Webb has produced, Letters to David, and the book he produced with you years ago, Wisdom for Life. I think we had you and Dr. Webb in the studio maybe 15 years ago, a long time ago, but appreciate the work that both of you are doing, both your families are doing.
This incredible work of the Open Room.
Yeah, the Open Room. Find out more about it at the-openroom.com, the-openroom.com. Well, in case you just joined us, we have Dr. Christine Hendricks in the studio. Do you go by Christine Webb Hendricks or just Christine Hendricks?
Yeah,
okay, well, kudos to Jeremy for marrying up. And, and I love the fact that both of you have the gift of, like him with sports medicine and you as general practitioner, how gifted for Kenya to receive you to work in that special way with
how gifted
them.
For Muhammad.
Yeah, how gifted. Theopenroom.com. Find out more. And thank you, Christine, for carving out time and a busy schedule, and appreciate you and Jeremy and your work. All right, listeners, stop by the-openroom.com, the-openroom.com, and maybe one or two or a dozen of you are thinking about your own community and how you can maybe implement this into a storefront that's not being utilized. Claim it for God's kingdom and see what he's going to do with it through you and others teaming up.
This could spread.
I think it should. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Christine Hendricks with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.